Hey, welcome to another Pastor Duke podcast coming to you from Rock Hill, South Carolina. Just got back from Bowie, Texas yesterday where I did a conference and home one day, heading tomorrow to Grady, Alabama to do a prophecy conference. So thank you to my listening audience for taking the time to listen to the fruit of my studies. I pray God will use me to enlighten you, to help you, to challenge you, maybe correct you. So I give it everything I got. Hope it's a blessing. Here we go. Today we call the lesson Focus on the Palestinians and the Heart of Hamas. I'm hoping you listened to my previous podcast called Israel, Hamas at the Core. I'm going to build on that foundation where we had biblically and historically identified the Palestinian people and what drives the hate they have for their Jewish neighbors. It's not a new problem. It has ancient roots, and when Islam arose up in the 7th century AD, the Palestinian people who would not actually be called Palestinians for yet another 1,100 years, let that sink in, but that people group, what we call Palestinians today, were conquered by Muslim forces. The hostilities between Palestinians and Jews were passionately inflamed by the jihadish doctrine, which is core doctrine in the Quran. You know, kill your enemies, whereas Jesus said, love your enemies. Hate the Jew. Israel has no right to exist, is literally in the Hamas constitution. Gold in my ear said, you can't negotiate with people who want to kill you. I'm going to hit the bloodline of the Palestinians again real quick, which I did in a previous podcast. Way back in Genesis, Isaac had twin boys. Jacob would be the son of promise. Esau was not. Jacob would be patriarch to the Jews, and the Messiah, Jesus, would come through Jacob. Esau became patriarch to the Edomite people, cousins to the Jews. The family had issues as Jacob stole the birthright from Esau. That's not right. That's wrong. But that's what happened. As he was the firstborn, Esau the firstborn, and then later, Jacob stole the family blessing from Esau as he lied to his father, who was now blind, and that's all written in the Bible. It laid the foundation for division and hostility. It was a family feud, sort of still is, along with a religious feud on top of that. Though later in life, those two brothers reconciled, which is a wonderful thing. Their offspring were ever at odds. The Edomites built the city of Petra, carved into the cliffs in what is modern-day Jordan. You need to Google that up, man. What an amazing architectural feat that was. Many scholars, including me, I don't know if I'm a scholar, but I believe that the Jews, when they flee under the Antichrist's future persecution of them, will flee to Petra in the wilderness and be sustained miraculously by God. They have lived, the Edomites, in that land of modern-day Israel, mostly the West Bank area, and in Jordan for 4,000 years. They have lived all these millennia mingled in the same geographical area as their ancient cousins, the Jews. Not all the Jews were driven out. There's always been a Jewish occupation presence in what we call modern-day Israel today. It just never had a government. At the time of Jesus, he visited the Idumean people, which was the new name for the Edomites. And so Jesus loved those people. He went to visit them as they were cousins to the Jews. I think that's very important. It is also of huge importance to understand that there has never been a Palestinian state. Historic ignorance and fake news has convinced most of the global population that the Jews drove the Palestinians from their rightful land and pressed them into refugee camps, as is Gaza, and have relentlessly held the Palestinians as international hostages. Absolutely not true. This lie has been propagated for decades and is foundational to massive anti-Semitism, which is rearing its ugly head all over the world this past week and sadly across many United States college campuses. Well, here are the facts. When Joshua conquered the Promised Land, God did not have the Jews to drive out the Edomites, but allowed them to live nearby. This is in spite of the fact that Edom was unwilling to allow the Jews passage through their territory, even though the Jews offered to pay for whatever water they might be taking from the wells. They forced the Jews to go around. It was game on. Hostility has brewed up again from those early days and has never ceased since the time of Joshua. You must remember, this is 2,200 years before Muhammad and the birth of Islam. This is way more than an Islamic Jewish religious war. It goes way back. As the Jews fell to the Babylonians and ceased to have a sovereign government all through the centuries, as Babylon fell to Persia, Persia fell to Greece, Greece fell to Rome, likewise, the Idumean people, we might call Palestinians today, never had a national sovereignty. There's never been a Palestine. They just lived in the same region under foreign occupations, just like the Jews did. The next huge issue concerning the Edomite, Idumean, we call Palestinian people group today, came in the 7th century with the rise of Islam. Jihad was waged and conquered Jerusalem in 636 AD and all the regions round about. The Edomite, Idumean people were beaten. They were forced to convert to Islam by the sword. The name Palestinian was still hundreds of years into the future. Then came the Byzantine era with the Crusaders coming in from the Roman Catholic Church, conquered the land for a while, was later conquered by the Ottoman Empire for over 400 years. That land, Israel, some call Palestine today, was occupied by the Turks. And England gained control, World War I in 1917, signed the Balfour Declaration, allowing Jews to begin to return to their ancient homeland, not as a national state, but just going back to the land that God gave to their forefather, Abraham. In 1920, the land realignment by the Brits created Transjordan, and then called the West Bank area, the West Bank of the Jordan River, not the Mediterranean Sea. It was under Jordanian control from 1948 to 1967 when Israel won the Six-Day War. They took the Golan Heights from Syria, Gaza from Egypt. It's only a strip 4 to 7 miles wide, 25 miles long along the Mediterranean Sea. They took the West Bank from Jordan, the Sinai from Egypt, and the big prize of all, Jerusalem. For the first time in nearly 1900 years, Jews could legally visit their most sacred of all sites, the Wailing Wall, the Western Wall of Solomon's Temple Mount. Oh my, Israel is the centerpiece of humanity. Jerusalem is capital of the world, and things were happening. The greatest sign of all, the Jews came home. Jerusalem was retaking. The time of the final days of the church age had begun. The land in Israel, when the Jews returned, was purchased. Don't forget that. It was purchased by money. Just like if you sold your property, it belongs to the one you sold it to. You got your money. That's what happened when the Jews returned after their 1900-year diaspora. It was not taken. It was purchased. Arabs and Jews lived side by side for hundreds of thousands of years. A must understanding now. Not all Arabs are Muslims. Many were Christians, mostly Eastern Orthodox, and they were never violent or uncooperative with Jewish autonomy over the area, which began in 1948. The issue isn't race. The issue is religion. I went to Bible college with a Palestinian Arab Christian who became a born-again Christian, Naeem. We called him Name. He'd sing, "Precious Name, oh, how sweet." In his land, they call him Naeem Khoury. His father was a city councilman in Jerusalem as an Arab leader when it was held by the Arabs. Muslims and Christians worked there. And of course, he lost his job when the Jews won that war. But Naeem said they're under Jewish leadership and control. They had good jobs. And as long as they weren't terrorists, they got treated fine, lived in nice houses, had good food to eat, and were totally safe. Islam, in its purest form, hates the Jews. It hates all infidels who are all non-Muslims. So they hate you, and they hate me. Not all Muslims are radicals and would be willing to live peacefully among the Jews and other infidels. I have two Muslim families through the years in upstate New York I've become close friends with who are kind, they are generous, they are completely safe, they are peaceful, and they're a bit embarrassed about the radical Islamists who have waged terrorism and war all through the centuries. Now, the radicals would, question whether they're even Muslims at all because they're not jihadish in their faith, even though jihad and violence is in the Quran. They would be looked upon as liberal Muslims because they just want to be peaceful and be nice people. The problem is for the moderate Muslims, if they speak out against the radicals, it makes them targets for the radicals. So worldwide, the conservative Muslims, the safe Muslims, we might say, they're kind of forced to lay low. All the while, they are, in a sense, sort of enslaved by the radical part of Islam. Survey says only maybe about 10% of Islam are radicalized, and yet they're the ones that have been in charge, especially since the Khomeini fundamentalist revolution in Iran in 1979. There are 39 Sunni Muslim nations in the world with only one Shiite nation, which is Iran. Who hates the Sunnis, but not near so much as they hate Israel. When the Shah of Iran, Mohammad Reza Shah, was deposed in 1979, the extremist Ayatollah Khomeini regime gained power and have held it ever since. And they brought down the hard fist of Shia law upon Iran. They drove out the popular Western cultural influences and put the women back in burqas, took the girls mostly out of the educational system. In the written constitution of Iran is death to Israel. They've been very clever to continuously fight against Israel, mostly by proxy. Iran has funded the terrorist organizations Hamas in Gaza, Hezbollah in Lebanon, the PLO in the West Bank, the Houthis in Yemen. They have created a ring of fire with over 300,000 total rockets, all aimed at Israel. On October 7th, 2023, the biggest attack since the 1973 Yom Kippur War was launched against Israel from Gaza by Hamas. 1,400 Israelis died, mostly civilians. They were raped. They were massacred. Babies were beheaded. Families were burned in their homes. Women were raped. 250 people were taken hostage. Some of my inside sources believe Iran was furious with Hamas for moving too early. Hamas chose to act independently when Iran's strategy wanted a sudden unified attack from all sides simultaneously. Thus, Hamas was taking the Islamic glory unto themselves. Time will tell what is and what isn't true on the jihadist union with Iran and who did what, when, and why. But that's what I heard from some of my inside sources. The Western media portrays Israel as the aggressor and evil occupier of the Palestinian land. On many occasions, the Palestinian people were offered a two-state solution. Right from the beginning, 1947, by the United Nations, they rejected the Oslo Accord in September 1993. Again, they rejected the Abraham Accord under Trump's tutelage. Again, they rejected a two-state solution. They refuse. They want only one state and death to Israel. So from 1967 till now, terrorist raids have continued from Palestinian territories targeting innocent civilian Jews. Every attack is a war crime according to the Geneva Convention rules for warfare. All the while, the terrorist groups use the innocent Palestinian people as human shields, also a continuous war crime. The innocent Palestinians have been caught in 50 years of crossfire. But how deep, one might ask, is their innocence in Gaza when the Gazan populace voted Hamas to be their rulers, to be in power by a 90% majority? I would ask, is that a fair election? I'm not so confident that a whole lot of elections are fair in these past, say, 25 years. We'll find out one day when we get to talk with a great judge of the universe and he lets us in on stuff that we don't know, but I wish I did know. Also, huge to note, none of the 39 Sunni Arab nations or Iran allow even one Palestinian refugee into their countries. They use them as human pawns on their chessboard to destroy Israel. They have no sympathy for the Palestinian people at all. Egypt locks down her border with Gaza, keeping the refugees inside southern Gaza. Israel warns the Palestinians to go south in Gaza. It's only a few miles walk. You could walk down there. While they go, well, Israel goes in to flush out Hamas in the northern part of the Gaza Strip. Meanwhile, Hamas blocks the civilians from going south, again, using their own people who they could care less about as human shields. Israel takes on additional deaths of its own military to try to protect civilians. All the while, Hamas and Hezbollah target civilians. You see, Satan does not play fair. He is a murderer from the beginning, the father of all lies, and I might say the father of Islam. I'm being asked, how does what is happening now in Israeli-Hamas war, all the talk about World War III, how does it fit into the big prophetic end times scenario? Well, first, in a general sense, it is as it has always been. Islam does not believe Israel has a right to exist. Death to every Jew. This is just the most recent episode of that long saga. Also to note, the billions of dollars of aid that was sent to the Palestinian people over the past 10, 15 years, that money that went to Gaza has been stolen by Hamas and used to build their military underground systems and buy weapons to use against Israel. So we have stupid America funding both sides of this war. Come on, man. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Get us out of here. Also to note, Iran is the head of the snake. cleverly keeping their hands seemingly clean and having others shed their blood to accomplish Iran's jihad against Israel. Pretty clever, you might say. All the while, they inch closer and closer to having nuclear capability. Israel knows that a nuclear Iran would mean devastation to Israel. If they have it, they'll use it. If they die in jihad, they just have 72 virgins waiting for them in eternity. They believe, of course we know, it's the devil's lie. But more specifically, how does this present war fit? Number one, it's fueling the fires for World War III, which I personally do not believe will happen until after the rapture of the church. I see three main battles in the War of Armageddon, beginning in Daniel 11:40 to 45, where the first battle, the kings of the south, which I believe will be an Islamic caliphate coming up from Egypt to fight against Israel, and the New World Order Western political leader, whom will be none other than the Antichrist himself, who in his first diplomatic event, Daniel 9:27, confirms the covenant with the Jewish people for a week, 7 years. When Sunni Islam finds out that the Antichrist is sympathetic with Israel, it's game on, baby. He's not our guy. He's the great Satan. They gear up in an early part of the tribulation, the first half of the tribulation. I have no clue how soon, but before the middle of the tribulation, Israel is attacked by the kings of the south, and they are destroyed by God. But the world watches, and they say they fought against Israel. They fought against this Western leader, the Antichrist, and they were destroyed. Islam will be clearly defeated. Muslims will learn the hard way their eschatology was wrong. There will be no Mahdi emerging from any well to lead a global jihad to conquer the world for Allah and his prophet Muhammad. Islam will not win. Islam is a demonic lie. Some people, you might think that's a little strong, but we'll stand before God one day, and I think you'll find out I'm right. And I love Muslim people. I've shared the gospel with many of them, and praise God, many are listening to my podcast around the world. Man, lots of hits in Syria, Pakistan, Lebanon. It's exciting. Islamic people are tuning in, and man, we love them. And Jesus loves them, and they've just been lied to too long and abused too long. We want to see them set free and join us one day through the blood of Jesus to be in heaven and live in eternity together. Second battle of Armageddon, we see Ezekiel 38:39, when Russia marches down from the north, aligned with Iran, Ethiopia, Libya, and Turkey, called Togarma in those days, Ezekiel 38. This I see as the main event of what is happening now in this war. Turkey has been a NATO member to defend herself, be defended with the rest of the armies of the West against Russia. Well, Turkey is now breaking away with her Islamic hatred for the Jews. Their present President Erdogan has made clear Turkey is changing alignment from NATO to the Russian-Iran alliance. Ezekiel predicted this nearly 600 years BC, and we saw it happen last week, October 2023, right before our eyes. Also, a huge prophetic phenomena, 39 Arab Muslim Sunni nations, only one Shiite Muslim nation, Iran. How did Ezekiel know all about that? One renegade Muslim nation 1,100 years before Muhammad was even born. We see that prophecy also fulfilled before our very eyes. The Bible is never wrong. We saw Iran join the Russian alliance in 1979 when the Shah was deposed and Ayatollah Khomeini came to power. We saw Libya join the Russian alliance with the rise of Muammar Gaddafi and September 1st, 1969. And the Ethiopians joined the Russian team when Haile Selassie died in August of 1975. I watched that happen in my lifetime. The hand of reality fitting perfectly into the glove of prophecy. With this war in Israel today, I see the last nation is now in place, Turkey. It's huge. For the three big battles of Armageddon campaign to begin, all the nations had to be aligned, and as of last week, they are. I see also that this war, along with the Russian-Ukrainian war, is both militarily and economically weakening America to the point where America will be impotent to defend Israel in any upcoming Ezekiel 38 war where Russia and team comes from the north to fight against Israel and the Antichrist who is ruling from the temple in Jerusalem. We see in Ezekiel's end times political power, Ezekiel 38:13, there will be diplomatic opposition to Russia's invasion of Israel from a nation called Dedan, which scholars believe is modern-day France, and from Tarshish. Many scholars believe Tarshish is England, and if she is, the young lions of Tarshish, Ezekiel 38, which would be the United States, Canada, Australia, and New Zealand, all hating what Russia is doing, but for some reason not lifting so much as a finger to help. What is happening now, both in Israel and Ukraine, I see as draining American resources to where we are no longer the big tough kid on the world block any longer. I believe this is the globalist plan of the Biden administration to weaken the United States through open borders, through gender wars, through reckless spending, through runaway inflation and pandemic threats, to force America from a world power to a mere puppet in the European Union, NATO, Western Alliance, you know, the New World Order, where Antichrist will soon arise. Man, I think these are the final events. I think it's just all fitting together. This is exactly what I believe Joe Biden meant when he said, quote, America must lead the way into the New World Order. He means it. They know what they're doing. They've got a plan. It's happening. Everything this administration is doing fits with this end times biblical scenario. Putting all of this together simply tells me Jesus knew exactly what he was talking about when he laid out the world conditions at the time of his second coming. Phase one, he comes for his bride at the rapture of the church. That's the big one for us who believe. In my Father's house were many mansions, for not so I would have told you, I'd go prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, heaven, there you'll be also. The rapture of the church. Phase two, 7 years later, he comes to rescue Israel, where his feet will touch the Mount of Olives. The mountain will split in two. It will be at the end of the tribulation as Armageddon has hit. Jesus returns. The kings of the east of China have been destroyed in the Valley of Megiddo. They've got the Silk Highway in place. The dams are in place for them to walk, to march across the dry riverbed of the Euphrates River. It's all happening to the letter, as the prophet said. This would tell me that China is going to stay out of this present fray and be prepared for the big event looming in Israel a little bit later on down the road. This all tells me the rapture of the church could be soon. I mean, like, really soon. Israel is God's hourglass. Keep your eyes on Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. The day of the Lord's return is drawing near. Oh my, I don't like what's happening, but I'm not surprised by any of the things that are happening. God wants us to know what's happening. There's a reason he gave us 10,365 prophecies in the Bible. Jesus said, when you begin to see all these things come to pass, look up, your redemption draws nigh. Have you received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? If not, why not? Call on his name. He already died on the cross for you, paid for your sins. Receive him. Call on his name. asking to forgive you, come into your heart, save you, radically change you, get you ready for the rapture. Hey, thanks for tuning in. Appreciate if you would subscribe. Send a comment. Let me know. Ask questions. I'll do podcasts according to your questions. That'd be a blessing for me. Hey, just a reminder, Jesus loves you. Thanks for tuning in. And share these messages with others. And thanks again for tuning in. Love you. See you next time. Bye.